Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're continuing to celebrate our 12th anniversary of the Small Business Advocate Show. We celebrate your part in all this, your attendance, your participation, your just showing up, folks. We appreciate that very much. You're going to be glad you showed up because we got our buddy John Fox back on the show. John's an old friend of ours, a 1998 model from the standpoint of our brain trust. John has been with us all this time since August of 98, so he's already had his 11th anniversary with us. John is a tax lawyer by profession, by education. He's also a professor now. He's retired from the legal business, and he's teaching these young minds, filling them full of his wisdom at Mount Holyoke College in Massachusetts. He's the author of a number of books, including If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax. He's one of our top tax experts. John Fox, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. I really feel privileged. I feel honored to be on the show this week because I don't want to become all teary-eyed, but I think you have. I mean, it's an absolutely unique show. I know of nobody who is such a serious and entertaining advocate for this great cause of the small business owner, and you do it in a way that is substantive. It is not based on sound bites. I think you do a fabulous job, so it's really an honor for me to be with you.
Thank you, John. I appreciate you saying that very much. One of the things I know you've got on your mind today is what you're calling, I'm calling it a reckoning. You're calling it, I've forgotten the term that you used, but there's a generational reckoning. That's what I'm calling it. I'll let you spin it your way, but a generational reckoning coming. What do you think?
Well, I think it is. I teach at Mount Holyoke undergraduate, so these are young women who are between the ages of 18 and 22 or so. And I told them yesterday, we're talking about Social Security and Medicare, that the most serious domestic problem we have in this country is an undeclared generational war over federal resources. And what I mean by that is that the claim of seniors, those over 65, is so great on our federal resources and promises to grow in such enormous at such an enormous rate that less and less is going to be able to be available to help build the world for the young generation.
We've never had the generational stress on senior resources like my generation, the baby boomers, are going to place on it over the next 20 years.
Let me just put it in a little slightly longer term perspective, because Social Security and Medicare trustees say we're going to predict the world. We can't do it exactly, but over 75 years, and they do that every year. And these are very sound people. These are nonpartisan,
serious people. Uh-huh.
But here's the picture that they tell you: that if we continue on today's trajectory for Medicare and Social Security, Medicare and Social Security benefits will consume close to 18% of our GDP.
Wow.
Of our gross domestic
product. That's more than all the health care put together right now.
Well, it's more. Let me then rephrase it. If we look at today's total federal tax revenue, it's around 18% on average, 18 to 19%
of GDP.
So what we're looking at down the road is that if we don't change this trajectory, every federal tax dollar would be used for Medicare and Social Security. Mm-hmm. There'd be nothing left for defense, for interest on the national.
Well, there already is only about 20% that they can actually move around, isn't it? Isn't about 80%
of health care altogether is something like 16%.
But so, I mean, isn't when the government when the Congress talks about moving, you know, spending our money, isn't about 80% of it between entitlements and national defense and those kinds of things? Isn't that already about 80%?
So we're in this curve that less and less is going to be able to be available for early childhood education to improve our schools,
right. You
know, to address all the things that we want to, you know, when we talk about our children and that they are the greatest asset that we have. We're not serious about it unless we get serious about addressing the Social Security and Medicare problems, which means that people running for office are going to have to say to the seniors, you're either going to have to be able to accept smaller benefits, at least those of you who can afford it,
right,
or pay higher taxes on your benefits and not stick
something's going to have to give.
On the current working generation. It's as simple as that, but because voters are, because people over 65 vote and the young people don't, you know, and because everybody in Congress is running for election every day, we have this very serious problem.
This is not a complicated calculus, is it? I mean, this is just addition and subtraction.
It isn't, and they've noted the Medicare Trust Fund, which takes all of our Medicare taxes for hospitalization and nursing homes. So it's the major Medicare program. Now, the trustees are telling us, as they've been telling us for years, that it will be bankrupt in 8 years. It's going to be bankrupt in 8 years if we don't do something about it. Congress currently is talking about health care reform that might extend it a few years. That's not a serious way of addressing it. And if it's bankrupt in 8 years or 10 years or 12 years, that means Medicare reimbursements have to drop by something like 20%.
Well, isn't that part of the plan that is being proposed with the health care reform legislation that's going through Congress right now?
It's just a little bit. It's not a serious effort to address this long term. Even the House.
But it's called the camel's nose under the tent. Where it's starting is not where it's going to wind up.
Yeah. Well, it is starting, but the question is, and really this is what seniors have to be able to address. They never paid enough into Medicare to deserve the benefits that they're getting. They've never paid into Social Security sufficiently to get the benefits that they're expected to get.
Right.
So how do you address that? Do you say that, well, we paid in something, so we should get it, or do you say seniors have to bear a good deal of this cost? Who can afford it? And that's the tough problem.
And so what, President Fox, what would you do about this?
Well, the first thing I would do on Medicare is that once you become 65 and you're retired, you're entitled to Medicare. And Part A says that therefore you're not paying any more taxes because you're not employed.
Right.
And there's no premium that you're paying. You're not paying any premium for Part A, and it's going to bankrupt in 8 years.
Yeah.
Everybody who can afford to pay a premium. And that's a good measure.
So you're talking about means testing.
You've got to means test this because you can't say to poor people you've got to pay for it because they can't pay for it.
Right.
So some people might pay nothing.
Some people might pay $100 a month. Some people might pay $1,000 a month.
Yes. You know, maybe not $1,000 extra a month, but they might pay $500 or $600 or
something. Well, somebody like you could afford $1,000 a month, John. Hold on to that thought, John.
I was thinking of you, Jim, but
Hold on to that thought. John Fox is our guest, folks. He and I will be right back after these messages, 20 after. John's book is called If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax. Stay with us.
Anniversary, baby, got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby, got you on my mind.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. We continue the obnoxiousness of celebrating the milestone of our 12th anniversary of the show, the 12th anniversary of our website, the 10th anniversary of our newsletter, which we just sent out our 521st edition of that on Sunday by email. We do that every week, and you can subscribe to that at my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Lots and lots of other stuff there to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And as it has always been for over 12 years now, it's free. It's available to you. Whatever we have, you can get there for free, except for the books. If you want to buy books, if you want some of the books, you got to pay for those. But otherwise, everything else is free. And I think you'll enjoy it. I think you'll get something out of it. And we've got it where you got, no matter how much time you have, no matter what's on your mind, we've got something there that you can take advantage of and take home with you. Some of it you can take home with you. John Fox has been with us for almost all that time. Over 11 years, John has been a member of our Brain Trust. He is one of our top tax experts in our Brain Trust, the author of If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax, johnofox.com. Right, John?
That's right.
John Initial O, Fox, 1X.com. Check it out. All the John stuff is there. I encourage you to go there and check it out. John, we were talking about this. I call it the reckoning. It could become a revolution between the generations, over resources. That's what you're talking about.
Well, you know, young people don't vote, and it won't become a revolution.
Whoa, time out. Say that again.
Young people tend not to vote. Seniors
they
vote.
Voted. They put Mr. Obama in office.
Well, they increased their vote by a little bit. It wasn't as much as people said. They began. All of my students vote, Jim.
Yeah.
I want you to know. All
of course.
My Mount Holyoke students vote. But young people as a group still are not going to the polls the way they should. But potentially, you're absolutely right. At some point, they're going to say, why are we paying so much of our taxes to
support seniors? Let me tell you what's changing that. And what's going to continue to change it, and the reason why this is going to increase what you're talking about, the tension you're talking about. The reason young people voted the way they did for this last election was because of social media, because of the social media campaign that the Obama administration put on, which was absolutely genius. It was the most impressive thing I've ever seen.
Sure,
I've heard two speeches on this already. It's unbelievable. And I think that the election cycle, the election process will never be the same because of that. And because of both sides now will have to do this in the future, I think young people will continue to stay involved. And that will continue the tension between the generations.
Yeah. Well, it is a tension. It's a growing tension. It isn't just that young people have to step forward. I give this talk to seniors. I mean, I give talks at various times, and I say to seniors, look, you love your children, you love your grandchildren. You have to begin to take this problem seriously. Mm-hmm. There are not going to be enough resources to have early childhood education, have great public schools, have great technical training schools, do all those things to equip the next generation to be as great as the existing generation has been. And if we don't do that, America is going to be in decline. It's as simple as that.
Right. Well, you're right. I mean, we're already there, folks, in it to a large degree. Your simple solution is just means testing.
Well, I would do more means testing. I would expect seniors to pay more who can afford to pay more. Take a lot of the burden off of the younger generation. It's the only way to do it because they can't afford to buy their houses, to pay for their insurance, you know, to go to school, to do all the things that can equip them with the wonderful advantages that we had when we were growing up as young people.
Well, you know, another thing that's going to happen, I think, John, I think my generation is going to work longer than my parents' generation did.
No question about it.
Let me tell you something. I like working. I don't plan to ever not work. I mean, I'll retire one day because I'll be forced to, basically. You know, I mean, I say forced to, meaning from a... I guess I don't have to. I don't have to join Social Security, do I? I mean, I can keep.
No, you can keep it for you. Let me say slightly differently what you were talking about. As somebody who I've retired from the practice of law, but I'm not retired from life.
Right.
You know, one of the things that I think is so important to do if you have the opportunity to do it is to keep reinventing yourself.
Stay productive,
and one of the least used great resources of this country is the retired senior.
The brain trust.
The potential of retired seniors who sit around, so many of them sit around, they play cards or golf all day. I love to play golf, as you know. But this is a huge, huge potential asset, and they ought to use that asset to do all sorts of services.
See, we started doing this back in the 70s when we started downsizing, right-sizing. We got rid of all of our we put people out to pasture who should never have been put out to pasture, and we lost a lot of our brain trust in the corporate economy. And I think that's going to change. I think my generation is going to we're going to reinvent ourselves. We're going to continue to be productive. And I think based on that, I think we're going to continue to earn money, hopefully to offset some of our expenses.
Well, I think we will. I think this decline, the decline of our 401ks to 201ks has happened.
Yeah.
You know, let me give you a statistic that today about 4 to 5 million. People are 85 or older. By 2050, it's going to be 18 million.
Yeah, Oh, yeah.
It's a huge growing population. Yeah. So we are going to live longer, and we have to find ways to use the senior population that has retired.
Right.
To make life useful
that's
for
gonna
them.
Be, and that's going to be the trick, and I think that's going to make them, I think that's going to be part of the augmenting of your means testing, I think, for sure.
And hey, I think seniors will find it enormously rewarding.
John, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always. Thanks for being
here
this week.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time. John Fox, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. You don't know.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.